Welcome, Hai Ching.
Thank you, Heidi, for the general introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. And as Heidi has introduced, my name is Hai Ching, and I'm currently working at Obo Academy in the Faculty of Education and Welfare Studies. Thank you very much for inviting me and to give me the opportunity to share with you my research on the perception and intercultural experience of Chinese immigrant teachers in Finland. The COVID-19 pandemic and the ongoing wars reminded us that we are indeed living in a time of emergencies and in a world that is still full of inequality and conflicts, which is why I feel that the SDG 4, and especially the Education for Emergencies lecture series, is very timely and important because this provides a platform for dialogue amongst teachers, future teachers, teacher educators, and everyone interested for sharing knowledge and perspectives of how we understand the world. It is also a reminder that more research needs to be done in interculturality, especially in giving voice to those who are underrepresented or misrepresented in academic discussion. So my doctoral study, the one that I'm going to talk about today, is my doctoral study, which was finished 2 years ago. So that's my focus today. So it's attempted to shed light on the rarely heard or rarely researched intercultural experiences and perceptions of Chinese immigrant teachers working in the Finnish context, by examining the discourses constructed around the Chinese language and the utterance of the Chinese immigrant teachers of the language. So there might be questions, why Finland and why immigrant teachers and why particularly Chinese immigrant teachers of the Chinese language. My motivation or my interest in investigating the intercultural experiences and perceptions of the Chinese immigrant teachers of the Chinese language was motivated by three coexisting discourses. The first one is related to the diversity or the increasing diversity of education in the Finnish context. Much of the current debates about the diversity in Finnish education focus on how we can better support the personal and academic growth of students of diverse backgrounds. The fact that our teaching force is also increasingly diverse is not being paid enough attention to. The conditions of all teachers, I think it's highly related to the well-being and the achievement of the students. So it is thus very important to extend our attention to the immigrant teachers, the teachers who are rarely heard and who are rarely researched in Finnish context. And the second background discourse is about the excellence of Finnish education and Finnish teachers. Finland has been praised worldwide for its education because of its outstanding results in the PISA study at the beginning of this century. The success of Finnish education makes it very interesting context to examine those who play a role in it. including immigrant teachers. One of the factors that to the success of Finnish education is often attributed to Finnish teachers, who are said to be the best and most respected in the world. In societal and academic discussions about teachers in Finland, there seems to be an assumption that Finnish teachers are all white, middle class, and of Finnish origin, even though the teaching force is far more diverse than this shared image. So how about the non-Finnish teachers working in Finland who do not fit into this shared imagined figure? Are they equally respected? Do they feel that they are all in this prestige profession, as it is often claimed about the status of the teachers working in this country? So, and then the third discourse is related to the increasing interest in learning the Chinese language. Teachers of Chinese working in Finland consist of a very small number of certified teachers who were educated in Finland. And these very small numbers are usually Finnish nationals. And the rest, actually, and the majority are Chinese immigrant teachers who were born, educated outside of Finland. So little is known how these teachers experience and navigate the Finnish education while teaching the Chinese language here, and how they perceive their position in Finnish education. So this has become the research gap that my PhD study aimed to attempt it to fill. So there are three research questions that my study aimed to answer. And these are done by examining the media and political discourses related to Chinese language education, Chinese immigrant teachers' perceptions about their work, and their positions in the Finnish education context, and how their perceptions influence their way of talking about their experience teaching the language in Finland. So these are the studies, sub-studies that are included in the PhD project. They are all published articles. And they focus on more specific research questions, which I will not read out. I'll just leave some time for you to have a look at them.
Hi, Jin, your voice is a little bit breaking.
Oh, really?
Now it's better again. I think you need to lean towards the computer. When you lean backwards, it starts to break your voice.
I guess the mic is not very sensitive then. Is it better now?
Yes, dear.
Okay, good. So these are the sub-studies. And then I will move on to literature on immigrant teachers in general and on Chinese immigrant teachers working outside of China. So literature on immigrant teachers working in you know, outside of their home countries shows that teachers of immigrant backgrounds face quite similar challenges, although, you know, they are differences, but you can find similar challenges across the world, and which is also shown in the Finnish context, that immigrant teachers here enjoy less of the equality and trust they were set to be enjoyed by the Finnish teachers. But interestingly, a review of literature on the Chinese teachers working abroad often seen that the studies attribute the challenges of these teachers face at work and in their teaching, to the conflicts between the so-called and usually perceived deficit Chinese educational culture and the so-called advanced Western educational culture. So this leads to my consideration of what would be a good research paradigms to help me to problematize the interculturality in the experience of and perceptions of these teachers. So in my study, I considered four different approaches to interculturality. While these approaches do not form unified, coherent theory, they consider to be taking critical perspectives to interculturality, in that they or take on the issues of power, contest, historical and structural forces in engaging culture and intercultural communication relations. So during the research process, I tried to build a dialogue between the discourse around this teacher's experience and perceptions and the theories of interculturality, to see how much of these discourses resonate with the existing conceptualization of interculturality and what new insights these discourses bring. Building on the strengths of the approaches that I discussed in my doctoral project, which I will not list here just for the sake of saving time, but I will talk a little bit about how I build on the existing theories and and follow some main principles in my investigation of the Chinese immigrant teachers. So I kept in mind that there is a diversity within the participant teachers, rather than seeing them as a homogeneous group of Chinese teachers. And instead of evaluating and criticizing the cultural claims made by the teachers, I try to understand what it means for them when they reflect on how they have been identified in the media, in the social and professional environments, and interpersonally, and what political, social, and economical elements lead to those discourse constructions. I also look at what identity positions are available to them to construct a way of being and behaving in the Finnish context. And instead of seeing culture and cultural differences at play, I rather pay attention to the power relationship in the context when a given discourse is constructed. And during the whole research process and during the writing, I try to be very honest and transparent about the whole process and admit that my interpretation might be influenced by my own ideology and positioning. So, as I said, the research project included three sub-studies, and they lead to three publications. The first one sets the social, cultural, and political backgrounds of the entire research. I think it might be better if I go back to this one. Yes. So the first one, Ideologies of the Chinese Language in Finland, a critical analysis of the policy documents and news articles, set the social, cultural, and political backgrounds of the entire research. This study looks into how Finland, a small bilingual country where English is used as a second language, deals with the growing prominence of the Chinese language. By examining the discourses on Chinese language presented in policy documents and two of the main news outlets in Finland, Yle and Helsingin Sanoma. And four prevailing discourses were identified with the analysis. These ideological discourses sees Chinese as a useful language, or Chinese as a global world language, or Chinese as an increasingly popular language, or Chinese as a different and difficult language. And the second article investigated how Chinese immigrant teachers of the Chinese language, who are majority of the workforce of the instruction of the language in Finland, perceive their positions in Finnish education and their roles in it. And the third one represents a critical analysis of teachers' cross-national comparative discourse. So the data was taken from focus group discussions during a teacher training workshop, which indicates that these teachers construct a utopia for Chinese language education, which refers to the Australia context. So Australia are seen as one of the best place to be a Chinese language teacher. And in comparison, Finland is seen as kind of dystopia. It's a horrible place to be a Chinese language teacher, which reveals that there are multiple factors that have influenced how they perceive their positions in the Finnish education. So coming to the conclusion and findings of this study, the findings of my doctoral research project suggest that Chinese immigrant teachers, their experience were influenced by multiple factors and elements, as opposed to existing studies which attribute to cultural difference in terms of how they experience working abroad. And there is a strong link between Chinese immigrant teachers' experience, their perceptions, as well as their intercultural imaginations and their constructed discourses. So based on these findings, a new model for understanding their experience was developed. And this model considers the multiple facets of immigrant teachers' experiences and the power relations in the context under review and the influence on the intercultural imagination and discourse construction. So I'm going to show you the model that summarized how I look into the, or how I found out in my research about the immigrant teachers. So this is developed based on the findings. So on the left side, you can see that is this main factors that have strong impacts on their experiences, which includes wider discourses, the local context, and personal capacities. So wider discourse refers to the widely circulating discourses, such as the rise of China as a country, as a superpower, and the increasing popularity of the Chinese language, the global ranking of Finnish education, and also the political and economical argument behind the provision of the Chinese language. All of them appears to have influence on how the Chinese immigrant teachers talk about their experience and how they talk about their positions within Finnish education. These teachers are aware of the circulating discourses and often reproduce the discourses in their own ways to serve their arguments. And then the local context, the realities in the local context plays a critical role in their experiences as a Chinese language teacher in Finland. During the group discussions, the teachers talked about the influence of, for example, the funding cuts in the educational sector and their influence on the provision of the Chinese language and therefore the job opportunities for them. And they also discussed the lack of path for them to have their previous studies or previous certificate, teacher certificates to be recognized. Also the lack of path for them to become certified Chinese teachers in Finland. The reality is that so far there is only one Chinese language, master's degree in Chinese language, which only recruits students who do not speak Chinese as first language. So if they are native Chinese speakers and want to become a Chinese teacher, firstly, they need a degree in the Chinese language, but the only degree program doesn't allow them to join. So it seems that there is, you know, no path for them. And then in terms of previous qualification recognition, this is not in my PhD study, but when I talk about this, it just reminded me of my recent experience of certificate recognition. I was teaching Chinese for some time at the University of Helsinki, and there was this student who joined my class. She's a native Chinese speaker with a master's degree in teaching Chinese as a second language from Renmin University of China, one of the most prestigious universities. And she has a teacher certificate in Chinese, a Chinese teacher certificate. So she applied for her certificate to be recognized in the Ministry of Education in Finland. And they looked at her studies and decided that she lacked 25 credits in basic Chinese. So she has to, in order to get those credits, she has to join my class, learning how to pronounce, you know, Chinese characters and how to say the pinyins and all that. Which is, you know, fine, because I use her as a teaching assistant, but because that's the only way to go. I don't think she needs any help in you know, pronouncing Chinese characters. But after she gained all the 25 credits, and we tried everyone in the Faculty of Arts and in the language department, tried to help her with that and tried to, you know, get enough course and credits for her. And she did manage to receive 25 credits. So she submitted this study records to the Ministry of Education. And they said that, no, these are not the right studies that you are supposed to take. So there is a lot of negotiation, and I have to explain a lot how she has helped me as a teaching assistant. And the reality that there are very few courses available for her to take. So after many rounds of negotiation, finally she was given this teacher's certificate, which is very fortunate for her. But the whole process, it's sometimes makes me feel speechless. So that's just one example of the local context in terms of the kind of I don't know if it's appropriate to call it gatekeeping practices, but that's the reality that they have to face. They are either very few possibility for them to have their previous qualification recognized or to study for a new program in Finland. Either way, it's not possible for them. And then they also, in terms of the local context, they also talk about the lack of support in professional development trainings, and also the language issue, that they need to learn the Finnish language. And also they discuss about the kind of marginalization of foreigners in the Finnish job market in general, which they believe also affects them. So these are the local contexts that were considered in the teacher's utterance. And then personal capacity refers to the teacher's educational backgrounds, the languages that they speak, the length of their stay in Finland, and also previous work experience. So in the teacher's utterance, these personal capacities affect how they perceive their positions and how they experience the Finnish education. For example, those who have been in Finland longer and speak Finnish language relatively better do show greater confidence in their knowledge about their students and about the Finnish educational system. Then in the middle part of the model, it shows that the teachers experience influence, but also are influenced by their perceived positions. And these positions can be negative ones, such as a marginalized position, or a positive one, such as that they are representative of an authentic Chinese culture, that they are the ones who really know what is Chinese culture. And then finally, on the right side, the perceived positions, these perceived positions trigger different actions of doing identity, the intercultural imagination and discourse constructions such as othering, but also essentializing and also reflecting on their own assumptions and beliefs about themselves and about others. So in this model, interculturality or intercultural experience do not necessarily lead to development of intercultural sensitivity or intercultural competence, as opposed to mainstream theories that suggest that intercultural experience lead to kind of linear development of intercultural competences. In fact, the Chinese teachers or Chinese immigrant teachers' intercultural experience is a constant negotiation process through which they accept, claim, or reject different identities of their own, but also imagine attributes or even deny certain identities for others. So practically, the findings also suggest that stakeholders should listen to the needs and concerns of the Chinese immigrant teachers and to provide equal treatment to all kinds of teachers. And secondly, regular continued professional development trainings play an important role in helping the teachers to update their subject knowledge and teaching skills, but also they can provide opportunities for different teachers to learn together and to know about each other and to know that they are not alone. In fact, I believe that there is a lot of shared similarities between immigrant teachers and local teachers, but more opportunity needs to be created for them to be able to get to know and communicate with each other. And also, it suggested that intercultural teacher education and training should be provided to teachers to help them to examine the ongoing discourses and to reflect critically on their own cultural assumptions, which is also quite prevalent in the teacher's utterance. So with this slide, I'm about to end my talk. Education is often said to be international and global today because of the increased diversity. My doctoral study shows that the mere presence of the so-called international teachers and students does not suffice to make education international, global, or equal. The voice of the participant teachers in my study were really rarely heard in Finnish education. So it is my hope that my study can shed some light in understanding their experience and to contribute modestly to find ways to empower immigrant teachers, not only the ones in Finland, but also immigrant educators around the world. And I believe it is especially important that the diversity of teachers and students should not be treated as mere add-ons or tokens for looking international or global. And teachers of all kinds should be heard and treated equally. Thank you very much for your time. That's the end of my talk.